Okay. It's hard to start to speak without at least mentioning something about what transpired and what took place. And on the one hand, there was really nothing to say. But on the other hand, just some of my thoughts, and that, you know, part of, I think over the week, one of the themes I heard was that the 45 Kedoshim were all outstanding Ovdei Hashem and superstars of the Jewish people. That everybody agreed, and from all different backgrounds and so on and so forth, really the superstars of Klal Yisrael. And of course, it doesn't mitigate the pain for the families and so on, because that's, maybe it's comforting, could be it's not comforting, but that's a fact that they were outstanding Jews. But the pain to the families, obviously, is beyond our comprehension. But I found that, you know, if you say, wow, they're just holy people, and they had the Korban Tzibah and this and that, so you're like, oh, wow, like, it sort of, I think, you know, suppresses some of the hisora, some of the awakening that we have to have. Meaning, as somebody pointed out, I think it was a very good observation, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken these 45 people, if they were supposed to be taken at a certain time, he could have taken them more quietly. Right? They could have each gotten sick, you know, on their own and passed away with, you know, just their immediate family knowing. But obviously, if they were taken in such a way, such an unbelievable place, such an unbelievable time, such a horrific way, it obviously is meant for us to do something about it. Meaning, and we can sort of, there's so many different, and I guess that's one of the challenges. The challenge is to, like, see through all the pain and to see through all the, you know, all the details and say, hold on a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this, or orchestrated, perhaps a better word, such a tragedy for us to do something about it. And that's really a great challenge, to say that we can get caught up with the pain, we can get caught up with the, even, you know, hopefully not, but the details of, you know, a lot of, you know, the many details, but, and it's a tragedy beyond human comprehension. But one thing has to happen. I think, you know, if you, oh, Kabbalah's and this and that, but, yeah, I didn't, but something has to change, and everybody knows what they have to work on. I mean, it's, and also it's a week later, so it's like it's already getting. I mean, who could imagine that such a thing could be, you know, could wane a little bit, could lose its intensity? But it's natural. But the mice, we have to. Each and every, I'm talking to myself also. We can't go another minute, another hour, another day without doing something concrete, something that. We say, Hashem, we got the message. Could be the rest of the Jewish people didn't get the message. That's not our problem. We each and every one of us, we're part of the Jewish people. We're all one. And we were given a tremendous wake-up call. One of my friends told me that he spoke in his yeshiva, and I think this is what he said. He said that he spoke up in the beginning of this year, and he said, if we don't wake up from Corona, you know, Rachman al-Islan, what could happen? You know, if we don't properly wake up from Corona, which... It's very possible this is, again, I didn't say that. I'm not saying that it's the right mahalach. Who knows? We don't know. But we don't want to think for sure. Hashem is sending us a message. That's pasha. And we as an individual need to do something. Well, it could be something small, just, you know, to work on in some realm of avodas Hashem. Okay. But again, there's really not much to say, but that could be in some ways a cop-out. Like, nothing to say. Yeah, but Yidam Aron, but nothing to say. But you have to do something. You have to have some sort of personal... change. That Hashem's not sending things like this. Stop. That's for sure. Last night on the radio, I heard one of the great speakers and authors of our time, Shlomo Levinson, tell the following story. He said it over multiple times. It's a beautiful story, and it brings out a tremendous point. He said there was a couple in America that was married for 20 years without children, and they decided after 20 years of not having children, they're going to make Aliyah. They're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. So Rimeinu, after she came to Eretz Yisrael, was blessed with children. So maybe they'll be blessed with children. And after 2 years of living in Eretz Yisrael and not having children, their friend from America came to visit. And he said, oh, 22 years, you married, no children. You know, just give it up. Just give it up. Actually, maybe he didn't say that to them, but I think maybe he didn't say that. Okay, that's not an important part of the story. But anyway, he said hello to them. I mean, in his own mind, he said that. I don't think he said it to them. I don't think he would be that cruel. Forgot that part of the story. That's not the main part of the story. He came back to America, and he was with his wife. And he told his wife, you know, I feel bad for them. It's never going to happen. So she said, how can you say that? Maybe they'll have a yeshua. So he said, you know what? Listen, if they have children, I'll close up my business in America. We'll move to Eretz Yisrael, and I'll sit and learn Kol. And sure enough, 9 months later, whatever it is, this young couple had twins, a boy and a girl. And the man who said made that neder, that if they had kids, because he never thought they would ever have kids, you know, found himself in a little bit of a pickle. He thought there was no way in the world they would have kids. And here he is, he made a neder, and to move to Eretz Yisrael and sit and learn in Kolo, and now he's stuck. So what did he do? He went to Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. This is a story that happened 30 years ago. That's how the story was told over. So he went to Chaim Kanievsky and he says, no, this is the neder that I made. Apparently, he didn't say Bli Neder. And, you know, we know that you can be shol neder. You can ask the Talmud Chacham to be shol neder. So Chaim Kanievsky, you know, can I get out of this neder? He said, I'm really sorry. He said, a neder with a mitzvah, you can't get out of it. You can't be mounting neder on it. I don't know the halacha implications, but a neder that has to do with the Dvar Mitzvah, you can't get out of so easily. So, okay, so can I send a shliach? How about I support somebody who's learning? I can support somebody. I'll stay in the business, and I'll support somebody who's learning. He'll be my shliach to fulfill my neder. So Chaim Kanievsky said, that's a great idea. I have a great idea. Shlichus is a great idea. You come and you sit and learn all day, and you have a shliach for your business. It's a great idea. That's what you should do. And then Chaim Kanievsky told him, he said, listen, he said, how do you know that the schus of having these children wasn't because you were going to come along and learn the kolo? The schus that you were going to close your business and come and learn all day, you said to Hashem that if the kids, you know, if these, this family, this couple has children, has a child, then you'll do it. And maybe that's the schus. Your vow, your nether, to come ahead and learn. And the truth of the matter is, it's very much in the second parsha of this week's double parsha. B'chukosai teleichu, that's mitzvah tishmor v'asisim oisam. What's going to happen? Nasad gishmeichem beitam, nasad aritzus yulav, esasad beitam perio. All the brachas in the world, all the sustenance that we need comes from what? B'chukosai teleichu. Of the list, what is b'chukosai teleichu? Shetiyo melem b'atayra. Right? The world is a very confusing place. These two psukim tell it all. If you toil in Torah. Now, first of all, we know that when the Torah lists something, the first thing on the list is the more significant one. And what does mean? If you're a melim b'Torah, if you toil in Torah, if you learn Torah, if you work hard in Torah, and of course, mitzvah tishmor, and you observe the mitzvos, then what's going to happen? All the brachos that you need, the rain, and the sustenance, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. So says Chaim Kanievsky, your vow to go ahead and learn Torah, not all day, on a very kavua level, terascha keva. Maybe that's the schus, because we see very clearly that's what brings the world to schus. Now, it's a challenge in this world, because what do we see? We see people going out and working. Now, of course, you have to do a shabbos. I'm not saying that. People going out and working, it's somewhat of a mirage. The MS is what sustains the world. Torah learning. Of course, I'm not saying everybody here should, you know, don't go for a career and don't get a job. I'm not saying that at all. But in the reality, what provides sustenance for the world? Limud Torah melas b'Torah. And that a person has to know. That's what sustains the world. If Torah learning would cease to exist, the world would cease to exist. Torah learning goes fuels the world. Okay? And I think they asked. Oh, I heard this recently. Somebody asked. Oh, I heard this on a shiur by Mordechai Nogishol. Somebody asked the question. What did he answer? So somebody said, no, everybody started to learn Torah. Everybody gave up their jobs and learned Torah. What would be? So I think he quoted a Gemara that, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything. If that would happen. Again, in theory. But that's the reality. We have to go ahead and we have to do our hashtag. There's no question about it. A person has to know what fuels the world. This is what it says. How do things grow in this world? Because people toil in Torah and people observe the mitzvot. So it's something very important to keep in mind. That is what fuels the Torah. And if you go out to work 9 to 5, no problem. Right? No problem. There's nothing wrong with that. You do your hashtaglas to provide sustenance for your family, but the person has to know. What's fueling your life is your Torah learning. Right? We know that's a question that we're all going to be asked after 120. And that's what Yeshiva is all about. Hopefully some of you will, Torah will be a very, 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 very big part of your life on a daily basis. But even if most of your hours are spent toiling in Olam Hazeh, but your ikar, what's your ikar? What you have to know, what fuels your life? The Limud Torah that you do, and that's the whole point of Yeshiva, right? A person could say, what do I need to be here for a year or 2 years? What do I need to learn full time? I'm not going to learn full time my whole life. This is to build the foundation of, this is the foundation of your life. I, in the future, could be under, current statistics that most hours will be spent on Olam Hazeh, on toiling for a parnasa, etc. But a person has to know, what is my main focus in life? What is fueling my life and my home that I'm going to build? My Limud HaTorah and the Torah that I'm connected to and the Torah that I'm learning. So that's point number one. Based on that topic, I have to share with you a beautiful idea, a beautiful vort within a story that I heard many years ago from Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita. Listen to this, unbelievable thing. So we know that after the Torah tells us, if you toil in Torah and observe the Torah, you get a lot of blessing and everything is great. But then we hear the flip side. And what does the Pasuk tell us? Pasuk Yudalit. You don't listen to me. You find the law is disgusting. Also, you find that you abhor, your soul abhors the mishpatim. You don't do as kol mitzvosai. You refute my covenant. Etc. Then Tochacha is going to come, and things aren't going to be so great. Listen to this Rashi, an unbelievable Rashi. Says Rashi. Okay. Here. L'hafrachem is brisi. You're gonna basically denounce and go against and to uproot the covenant with Hashem. Kofer be'ikr. You're going to deny the essence of Hashem, says Rashi. Hari sheva averos. There are going to be 7 transgressions, step by step. Listen to this. Harishona gares hashniya. One is going to follow the next. V'chinat hashviyos elohen. These are them. Lo lamad. Person's not going to learn. Lo asa. He's not going to do. Mois ba'achem ha'osim. He's going to despise those that do it. Sonis ha'chomim. He's going to hate the rabbis. Moneas ha'cherim. He's going to prevent other people from doing it. Kofer for mitzvahs. He's going to deny the mitzvahs. And then kofer be'ikar. So from not learning, from not toiling, the first one is lo lamad. He's not interested in learning. What's the 7-step decline? He's going to denounce the existence of God. Come on. The guy doesn't learn and toil, doesn't care about learning. He's going to all of a sudden not be a believer? That sounds ridiculous. Mamish ridiculous. So Rezev left, explained this Rashi and this decline, this progression with the following story that happened to him personally. He used to be a rabbi in Miami Beach. And again, the story goes back probably 40 years or so. I'm just guessing about it. Okay? And in between Minchat Ma'ariv, he used to give a shir. During that time, he used to give a shir on Hilchos Shabbos. And a person who was Shomer Shabbat, or something like that, a Sabbath observer, something like that, he came to Minchat Ma'ariv. Perhaps he didn't always come to Minchat Ma'ariv, but perhaps he had yard site. And he came in, and the rabbi was giving a shir on Borer. So, give a shir on Borer, right? You have, you have jelly beans. You have green jelly beans and red jelly beans, and you only like the red jelly beans. And if you take out the green jelly beans, right, because you only want a homogeneous bowl of jelly beans, whatever I said, the red ones, and you take out the green, you're over on an Avera. And this guy came up after this year and said, there's no such thing. I've been, a Sabbath observer my whole life, And I know you can't turn on lights. I know you can't drive a car. But what kind of baloney is this? Like, you know, you can't take the green jelly beans out of the red jelly beans. It's like, it's just as bad as making a fire on Shabbos. That's ridiculous. So now you can look. Let's understand that story. And let's try to plug it into here. Lo lamad. He's not interested in learning anything new. He hears a new halacha, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, which is one of the rooted in the third nine halachos. He's not interested in learning it, right? So what's going to happen next? Lo asa. He's not going to do it. He's not doing this. He's not learning about it. He's not going to do it. What's going to happen next? Moes Bachem Hosen. He goes to some guy's Shabbos table and he sees him doing it. He obviously feels self-conscious that he didn't work on it. He didn't accept it. So he's going to despise that person. And what's going to happen? So he said, oh, you listened to that rabbi Shir? And he told you that? He doesn't know what he's talking about, that rabbi. And obviously he's going to be very self-conscious. He's going to start ripping on the rabbi. And then Moneas Acher, he's going to prevent other people from doing it. Because he's going to start walking, going to start going around saying, you heard that crazy halacha that the rabbi said? Why? They can't take the green ones away from the red ones? And then Kofar B'mitzvos. He's denouncing one mitzvah. It's only... Oh, that means, you can't use a razor on your face. You can't, come on. That's ridiculous. Right? And then ultimately, what he's essentially doing is being kofar b'ikar. It's a slippery slope. And that's what the Torah is telling us. So on the one hand, if a person toils in Torah, a person works hard and dedicates himself and commits himself to working hard and connecting, and when he hears a new idea, a new halacha, he says, I want to learn more about it. Maybe he says, perhaps... Maybe I'm not there, but of course, Torah is from Sinai. The halacha is passed down from generation to generation. Of course it's true. Of course it's real. Let me try and work on myself to get closer and to understand it better and to observe it better. But Rachman al-Litzlan, a person's reaction is, Lolomad, I'm not going to toil. I'm not going to work hard. Of course, the whole... Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Torah, Tavon, the Baruch Hu created the Yitzhara to help us grow. But what's the antidote? The Torah is a Tavon. The Torah is an antidote. Kadosh Baruch says, listen, you toil in Torah, I'll take care of you. But Rachman al-Litzlan, if a person comes across things in halacha, a person comes across things in his life and he says, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do it. Right? Right? I think it's a song. Right? In the co-op or something. I don't want to. Right? There's no such thing as a... it's an Israeli song. There's no such thing as I don't want to say... I don't have the strength. I don't want... Right, I think they said in America, it was a long time ago, one of the European Rosh Hashivas who didn't know English. He came to America and they asked him, what English do you know? Did you learn? He said, yeah, when somebody tells me I'll try, it means no. Right? It's like, I'll try. It means no. The answer is, where is our level of dedication? Where's the level of commitment? If a person's not willing to toil, willing to grow and understand it, There's a lot that we need to know. There's a lot that we need to do to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And of course, we know that this is for our own good. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'ashrecha b'olam haba. Right? You'll seldom find somebody who says, oh yeah, I dedicated myself to Hashem, to the true source of life, and I became a masmid, and I became a tremendous Eved Hashem, and I feel like I'm missing out on life. It doesn't work like that. It's the exact opposite. It's the person who's like this. He says, no, I'm not interested in that halacha. It can't be, it's true. It is true. So either say it's too hard for you and you want to reach that level, but Chas v'Shalom, say no, that particular way of life or that particular thing, not always not for me. And you come, you say, you write it off. And this is really the key to life. A person should toil in his ways of Avodas Hashem. He should take the experiences that he lives through life as ways to inspire himself and encourage himself to toil more in his Avodas Hashem, and through that, he'll be zochet to Ashrecha b'lo hazeh, Ashrecha b'lo haba. Have a great Shabbos.